Maybe you've got family members who learned the same Bible stories that you learned in grade school, Sunday school, and now they want nothing to do with church, and you're here eager to feed your faith with the Word. Why is that? When so many people are unbelievers in our world today, why are you a believer? That's the question that we want to address today. Simply stated, why some and not others? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 helps us answer that question. And he does it by offering three possibilities that are both logical and popular. Today we're going to take a look at each one of those answers and see which one is the most scriptural. And so we ask, why some and not others? In other words, what decides whether a person is going to be a believer or not? One of the answers that's pretty popular these days is, well, it all depends on your upbringing. If you were raised in a Lutheran family, you're probably going to be a Lutheran. And if your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents were all staunch Catholics, it's like you're born to be a Catholic. I sometimes call that being Catholic by blood rather than by belief. The question is that true? Is faith something that is genetically transferred to us by our parents? The answer is no. I mean, even though parents can certainly have an influence on our spiritual lives, parents can bring children into contact with the gospel in word and sacrament, the fact is parents cannot make their children be believers. Nobody's physically born into the Christian faith. It's not a person's race or nationality or culture or even his religion that determines who's going to be a believer in Jesus. And to prove that point, the Apostle Paul points to his own countrymen, the nation of Israel. In the verses before our text, Paul just finished cataloging all the advantages that God gave to the Old Testament nation of Israel. Paul writes, theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all. And yet, in spite of all those advantages, Paul goes on to say, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. In other words, not everyone who was a physical descendant of Father Jacob actually was a part of his spiritual family. Not everyone who was a descendant actually believed as Jacob believed, or for that matter, as Abraham believed. He goes on, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. You see what Paul's doing? He's drawing a distinction between those who are Jews by blood and those who are Jews by belief. He's saying the very same thing when he talks about the children of the flesh versus the children of the promise. He says, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. In fact, didn't Jesus make that same distinction? Remember when the Jews came and were kind of bragging about the fact that we have Abraham as our father, right? We're Abraham's descendants. What did Jesus say to them? if you were Abraham's children spiritually, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I've heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. Jesus' point and Paul's point is simply this. Just because a person comes from a long line of believers doesn't mean they'll automatically be a believer. The Jews had ancestors, the patriarchs, who were believers. And yet the majority of their descendants rejected Jesus as their Savior. So, why some and not others? Paul would say, first of all, it's not your family line that determines whether you'll be a believer. So, if it's not something in our parents, maybe it's something in us that determines whether we'll be a believer. This is a pretty popular theory as well. You often hear people say things like, what? Everybody's got a free will, right? If you hear the gospel, you have the choice to believe it or reject it. If you open your heart to Jesus instead of closing him out, well, that's what's going to determine whether you're really a Christian or not. When it comes right down to it, it depends on something in you. It's up to you to decide if you're going to be a Christian. What does Scripture say? When it comes to the question, why some and not others, Scripture says it's actually not something in you. To prove this, Paul uses an illustration from the Old Testament. He refers to the two twin sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. Remember them? Esau was the one who kind of squandered his birthright and along with it the promise of the Messiah. Esau and all of his descendants, the Edomites, ultimately rejected the worship of the true God. Jacob, on the other hand, even though he wasn't perfect by any means, he was a believer all the way to the end. The question is, why? Why one and not the other? Well, Paul answers that when he says, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in other words, before they could do anything to earn God's favor or to set themselves apart, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she, namely, their mother, Rebekah, was told, the older will serve the younger. In other words, why was Jacob going to be greater than Esau? Why would Jacob be the ancestor of the Messiah? Was it because of something he did or something he was? No. It was purely because God chose him. Paul uses the word elected him. It was purely an act of grace on God's part to choose Jacob rather than Esau. Or as God once told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Don't misunderstand those words. God is not saying that He's somehow arbitrary or fickle. Well, I'll pick him, but not that one. I'll make her a believer, but not him, her. No. What God is emphasizing is that he is absolutely independent. God can do whatever he wants to do. He is not obligated to show mercy to anyone. In fact, just the opposite. As a holy and a just God, he's obligated to punish those who disobey him. If there's going to be any mercy shown at all, it's going to be only because God, in and of himself decides to show it. It will be unearned, undeserved. That's why we call it grace. And that brings us back to our original question. Why some and not others? It's not your family line. It's not something in you, but rather it's purely God's grace. Paul puts it this way. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. You realize those two terms, grace and mercy, are basically two sides of the same coin. Grace is the good things that we receive even though we don't deserve it. And mercy is the bad things we don't get even though we did deserve it. These are the only explanations for why anyone in the world is a believer. Why do I say that? Why is grace the only explanation that any of us believe in Jesus? The answer is found in what you and I and really all people are like by nature. By nature, we're absolutely corrupt. We can't do anything to move one step closer to God. We can't do a single thing to set ourselves apart. No. All we've earned from God is hell. But what did God do? He showed us mercy. He didn't give us what we deserved. Instead, he sent Jesus to hell in our place. And then he gave us what we didn't deserve. A Savior. And just as importantly, he gave us the faith to believe in that Savior. You realize that that too is an undeserved gift. Not one of us could kind of work up faith in our own heart. No one can decide to believe in Jesus any more than a child can decide to be conceived. It doesn't happen. Isn't that what Paul is talking about in Ephesians when he says, "It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." What is a gift of God? Your faith is a gift from God. And why did God choose to give you or me saving faith? Honestly, I don't know. I got to confess with Paul. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. All I know is that God gave me faith not because of my parents and not because of anything that I did or a choice I made. Now, when it comes to the question, why some and not others, or maybe more applicably, why did God choose you or me? The answer is grace. Grace that God showed to us before we were even conceived. In fact, before the world began. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 1. For God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of God's glorious grace. To the praise of God's glorious grace. My friends, that's what I want you to take home with you today. I don't want you to be straining your brain on questions like, well, how come God didn't choose that person? And what about that? Why isn't that person a believer? Now, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? When we said that human beings, out of the hardness of their heart, can still resist, reject the grace of God. That's not God's fault. That's their